Hey, take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, the epistle. Okay, I have a question, which you don't have to answer, Steve.
I've heard the redundancy in that. So.
Okay. Did you ever wonder what God will do for you? I would assume the answer is, of course. And then I would also pray and believe that you all know the answer and that you would have to just look in the Word of God to see what He will do for you, right? Chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him," referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I think, or God. It talks about both of them in the context. "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know," verse 15, "that He hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him." So, the word confidence is boldness. And when we ask anything according to what? His will. First thing we learn in receiving anything from God is what's available, you know? And we learn that His word is His will. So whatever He says He will do for us, whatever promises He makes, whatever things He says He wants for us, they're available, right? So whenever we ask anything according to His will, His word, He heareth us. And of course, verse 15 must be understood in light of verse 14. "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Well, how do you know that He hears you?
Pray according to His word.
Yeah, according to His word. And He tells us, and we're going to look at 1 Peter. Let's go back a couple of pages to 1 Peter, chapter 3. It says in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." Well, who's the righteous?
We are.
We are. It says that we are righteous in Jesus Christ. When we're born again, we are made righteous. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, his ears are always, not sometimes, not once in a while, but always open to our prayers. Now, if our prayers are not according to His word or His will, then we'll probably get an answer that we don't want to hear. But if they are, then He hears it and He'll answer it and we'll get what we ask for. Because it says we'll get the petitions we ask for. And petitions are what? Things you ask for, right? You petition for something. You ask for something. That's what it means. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And verse 15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." This is in the Old Testament in Psalms. But even there, when people were doing God's word, His eyes were over them, watching over them, and His ears were open to whatever they were crying for, asking for. In Psalm 37, it says in verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And the word desires is the word petitions. But again, it's what? According to His will. We have to know what his will is, what he makes available, what he says we can ask for. It's interesting because Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what did he pray? He said, you know, God, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. And God said, what? This is the only way. So sometimes we don't know what the will of God is, do we? Sometimes, you know, I mean, generally speaking, we know certain things, but specifically sometimes we don't know what God's will is. So then you pray and you look for the answer, you know. And we have to be willing to receive his answer, not the answer that we want. You know, sometimes we pray and we already preconceive what answer we want. You know, say you're looking for a job. You're praying to God for a job, right? And then a job comes along. Does that mean that's the answer to your prayer? Not necessarily. You know, so then you have to check in, ask God. You know, is this really the job I prayed for? Is this the one that you've provided? Or is there another one? You know, and that's the way things are sometimes. We don't always, you know, maybe the right job is not available at that moment, but it will be in the future, right? Maybe we couldn't handle it at that point in time. And God doesn't want you to get in over yet. It could be the greatest job in the world with the greatest everything, except you're not ready for it. And so what would happen? Then you would probably fail. See, so God always knows better than we do. Let's go to Proverbs. Verse 8. Chapter 15. You didn't know that?
No.
Sheesh.
Sorry.
Okay, Proverbs 15, verse 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, so not only are his ears always open to our prayers, but they are his delight. Because he wants us to pray to him, right? He wants us to talk to him, to ask him questions, to petition him, even just to let him know we care and we're thinking about him. You know, prayer is not just for when you need something or want something. It's, you know, to pray for others, right? To make intercession for others. It's to thank God for all he's done for you already. It's to praise him and love him and to let him know you're thinking about him. It's, you know, it's not just to get things. It may be, you know, a prayer to ask God to help you to understand, right? There's many reasons for prayer. It's not just, okay, God, I need a new bike, which I don't need a new bike because I wouldn't get on a bike. But moving on. So the requirement is to ask God according to his will. And we know that he hears our prayers. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. So we know that God hears our prayers and we know that he will give us according to his will. That's what he will do for us. So whatever thing you can think about, whatever promise there is in the Word of God to us, he's willing to give it to us. Chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus Christ speaking and teaching concerning believing and prayer. And he says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So besides knowing what's available, besides knowing what God's will is, we also have to be believing. You know, you think about the guy that sat at the gate of the temple in Acts chapter 4. You know, it says that Peter and James came and he was there asking alms, he was asking for help, and he was there and he got healed. And it says that he was laid at the gate daily. And then when it got healed, later on it says he was lame from his mother's womb and he was over 40 years old. So he was looking to get healed, not just that day, but lots of days. Why didn't he get healed right away when he asked the first time? Well, nobody can really answer that except to say that it wasn't available yet to him. Maybe he wasn't ready and prepared to receive it. Maybe he wasn't at the point where he could believe to get healed. We don't know that. We just know that at that point he was ready and he was able to receive it and believe it. That's all we can say. That's all we know. See, but was he looking for it before then? Sure, for a long time. So we have to believe. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 19. Everybody knows this verse. You probably could all shout it out in unison by memory. But I'll just read it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, it says that God shall supply what? All. Not some, but all your need. Now, what's a need? That's another question. Well, it's a necessity, right? That's just another word for need. So I don't know if that really explains it. But there are basic needs that everyone has in life. We all have the necessity or the need for air, oxygen. We all have the need for food, for sustenance. We all have the need for shelter. We all have a need for clothes, okay? We would call those the basic necessities of life, to survive, right? Anybody argue with those things? No. Now, the difference could be the amount of clothes you need or the type of food you need. They could vary, right? So if you're lactose intolerant, you don't need milk, nor do you want milk or ice cream. A fate worse than death. But you do have a need for food, right? Or you may have a vitamin deficiency, so you may have a need for a different kind of food or a food that's rich in that vitamin. Clothing. Some people have a need. We all have a need for clothing, but some people have a different need for clothing. So, for instance, if you live in Arizona, Your clothing needs are different from someone that lives in Alaska, right? Still a need, it just varies in detail. That's the way it is. But there can be other needs at different times, and they may vary from person to person. You know, if you live in Manhattan, you probably don't need or want a car because it's expensive and it's hard to keep. People do, but then, you know, if you ever look at the cars that they park in the streets of Manhattan, they're beat up, you know. And if you rent a garage would be more expensive than most of us pay for mortgage, you know. So a person in Manhattan may not need a car, but somebody in the suburbs where they don't have access to public transportation or it would be inconvenient needs a car. So there's a difference in their needs, right? And that's true of a lot of things. It says, all your need. So we don't always have the same needs. But that's okay. And then the quantity and quality of the needs may be different. You know. So if you have a family of eight, you have a need for more food than somebody with just two or three of you. You have a need for shelter or a house. Well, if there's just you alone, you could live in a studio apartment. But if you have eight kids, you need, you know, two or three bedrooms extra. You know, and so on and so forth. So needs vary. But God says he shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. which is pretty cool to think about, you know. And sometimes our needs change, right? Sometimes you may need a break. You may need to go on a vacation. And then other times you don't need to go on a vacation. Sometimes you need to just, you know, whatever. Need different things, right? So God says he will supply all your need, all your need. So, you know, that's really between you and God. You know, now if you think you have a need and it's really not a need, then maybe you won't get it. But then God can show you you don't really need it, right? He can say, you don't really need that. You know, how many of us need a Rolls Royce? It might be nice to have one. Jim and Dave, they raised their hands. I couldn't afford the insurance. Say, but you could need a car. So again, you know, God shows you, God will tell you, and then all the other things come into play. But it is available, and it's God's will for all your needs to be taken care of. Pretty great. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Another verse everybody knows. So it says in verse 8, and this is in the context of giving and receiving, isn't it? You're supposed to say yes.
Yes.
Okay. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, you know, the emphasis there is what? On all. You know? And the word grace there in the context is has to do with finances or material things and give in the light of giving and receiving. So God, it says God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You know, it's a fullness. It's not meager. It's a lot. That you always, all the time, not once in a while, not occasionally, but always, have all sufficiency. Sufficiency is kind of like need, isn't it? Whatever you need, whatever suffices you, takes care of you. So you have all sufficiency in all things. You have all things that you need. All the things that you need, all the things that you suffice, that will suffice you to survive and be blessed so that you may abound to every good work. And what's every good work? Things of God, you know, godly endeavors. See? So when all those things line up, you know, we know what's available. We know that God will give us if we ask according to his will. We know that he's always listening to our prayers. We know that we have to believe when we know that God will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And, you know, he'll give us sufficiency in all things so that we may abound to every good work. And it all fits together, see? So those are the things that we check on when we need or we want stuff. Pretty cool. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. So you're going along in life and you're abundantly sharing and you're doing all the things that God would have you to do and you're living your life to the best of your ability to glorify God. And then you pray for something and kaboom, you get something you never dreamed of. Why? Well, verse 20. Now unto him, unto God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And God does that for us, doesn't he? Now, is it a guarantee that he'll always do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? No, but he's able to. And at times he does, to bless us. Or maybe sometimes we have a bigger need than we think we do. You ever have that happen to you? You know, you think, well, I just need this. And God says, no, you really need this, you know. And so he blesses you. You know, we were, I don't know, he's done it for us a lot of times. You know, just, you know, I think we need to do something or we need to have something, and we get more than we expected, for less than we expected, or not for anything, you know. And it's because God blessed us, because he can do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, because you filled in all the other items on the list of what it takes to get your prayers answered. And so God is that kind of God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. And he's our Father. And so, you know, it's like, you know, well, I was a young boy and you know, I needed a new baseball glove. And my dad would get me the best glove he could get me. I didn't need the best glove, but he loved me. So he would. Or I wanted a new bike. And so then he got me the best bike he could get that he could afford. I didn't need the best bike he could afford. I just needed a bike. You know, but that's what fathers do for their kids, doesn't it? Isn't it? Pretty cool. Let's go to James chapter 1. Right after Hebrews. James chapter 1. It says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith or believing worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? But we have to have patience. That guy on the steps of the temple at the gate, he had patience. And then patience had a perfect work, and he was wanting for nothing because he got what he wanted. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men. That's another thing that God will give you if you ask, right? It's available. Give me wisdom. What do I do, God? What's the best thing for me to do? What's the best thing for me to pray for? What's the best thing for me to deal with this situation? God will give you wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in believing. So you can ask for wisdom, but you are to ask how? In believing. Nothing wavering, meaning you stay fast and steadfast, focused on God and his word, looking for the answer from God. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, when you waver, when you vacillate, it's hard to receive from God. You have to stay focused and steadfast on what you're doing. Remember, we in the Blue Book, it has the analogy of the camera, right? Well, that's what it's really talking about. You know, you can't waver. You have to decide what you need, what you want, according to God's will and word. And then you ask God, believing, and you don't waver. You stick to it. So if you don't get it in the next 20 minutes, do you stop and say, well, God didn't listen to me, or he didn't answer my prayer, or do you stay at it? My wife has been reading, what's the book? Answers to Prayer. And it's the book on George Mueller and how he prayed, and how once he saw that it was God's will and it was a need, he would pray for it and pray for it and pray for it until it came to pass. And it says, he said that sometimes he prayed for years for something or someone. And he goes through a thing about all the different kids that came through his orphanage and how he would pray for them to get born again. And I can't say that all, well, he says that all of them didn't get born again. But he prayed for them to get born again, and he kept praying for them. And the ones that got born again, then he didn't pray for that anymore. But the ones that didn't, he kept praying for them. He never quit.
He was persistent in prayer.
Yeah, persistent. So I remember Jean Marie's sister-in-law, Liz Gilmore, she got into the Word with her brother, and she was one of eight, right? Eight kids plus her parents. And she prayed every day for all her brothers and sisters and her mother and father to get in the Word and get born again. You know, they were raised Catholic. And it took about, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years. But they all did finally. You know, and a couple of them were very resistant, you know.
And her parents.
Yeah, and her parents. You know, and they just, you know, in the beginning, I don't want anything to do with that. What are you, nuts? And but she kept at it and kept at it and kept praying and kept praying. She didn't badger them. You know, she'd talk to them. She'd pray for them and she'd bless them and love them. And they all got born again. They all got into the Word. What a great thing. So, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What does that mean? Well, just think about what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, right? So that's a blessing. That's a blessing that we didn't even know was coming. Then it says that we were sanctified, we were justified, we were set apart, we were made whole, we were, you know, all the things that God says. We received an inheritance, you know, we have all those, and stuff we don't even know about yet. Because he says there's stuff in the future. God sent his Son to take care of everything in the present. Well, he took care of everything in the past. He paid for sin nature, for us being born in sin, having the sentence of death. And Jesus Christ paid for all that was in our past. He paid for all that we need and do in the present. So if we sin, we can ask for forgiveness. If we need something, we can pray for that need. And he promises all that we just looked at. And what else? He sent his Son to prepare us and take care of our future because we have eternal life. And God says that the things that we have to put up with in this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in this. And then it says in Ephesians that he's in all eternity, he's going to show the greatness of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ, you know, all those spiritual blessings, you know, have to do with Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ took care of the past, the present, and the future for each and every one of us. What a cool thing. So God makes spiritual benefits available to us. You know, we have forgiveness of sins. We can go to him at any time with anything we need. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, those are not tangible things, are they? They're intangible. They're spiritual things, really. All those things are spiritual. You know, it's not just love. It's not just touchy-feely, warm feelings. It's the love of God. It's that perfect love. It's joy. It's not just happiness, but it's joy. It's the joy we have of knowing who we are in Christ Jesus and the joy of knowing that our whole future, our whole eternity is assured. It's the joy of knowing that God loves us and will never forsake us. We have peace. We have the availability of being peaceful. We have peace with God. We have total access to God because we're at peace with God, and we can have that peace in our heart and life knowing that we have God. We have long suffering. You know why we can suffer long? We can put up with stuff? Because we know that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. We know that we're always going to come out on top one way or the other. Gentleness. We can be gentle because he's gentle towards us. You know, and he gives us that ability to be gentle towards all. And encourages us to be that way. Goodness. You know, we have goodness within us. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. How much good can you get? How much gooder can you get? You know, we have goodness and we can manifest that goodness towards others. And believing, you know, believing begets believing. The more we believe, the greater our believing gets. It encourages believing. Meekness, you know, meekness is we have that ability to listen to God. We have that desire to listen to God, to receive his wisdom, his understanding, and have a knowledge of him. We're meek. And temperance, meaning, you know, we don't get out of bounds with things. We learn to be moderate and control ourselves, self-control. And that starts with the spiritual life. You know, when you pray and you're in the Word and you're aware of your life with God, you want to be temperate. You want to be in control of what you do. You want to be disciplined in your life. See, so those are all spiritual benefits that God gives us. In Romans chapter 5, says, therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You know? You ever talk to somebody and they go, well, how could God let this happen? Or how could God do this or do that? Or, you know, obviously they're not at peace with God, are they? Number one, because they don't have any understanding of God. Number two, they don't know God's word, so they don't know that they have peace with God. So it says, therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith or believing into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access to God. Right, face to face, we can go into the Holy of Holies and ask God continually. It says in Hebrews we can go before the throne of glory, right? With our petitions, with our needs, with our whatever we have, because we can. And let's go to Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Yeah. See, this is a psalm of David. And David saw God answer his prayers. And so he said, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard my voice, the voice of my supplications, because he answered his prayers. He supplicated, he made specific requests to God, and God answered him. He answered his prayers, he heard his prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You know, and when you pray to God, and you're faithful in prayer, and you're looking to God, and you're listening, and you know what he's all about, you'll see that God takes care of you. He'll strengthen you. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. He'll supply your needs. He'll do everything he can for you. And then it rejoices your heart because you have that great confidence in God that he is who he says he is. And then you want to praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. That's God, you know. That's God. So I started out with a question, you know, what will God do for you? My ending question is, what will you do for God in response? Because that's really what we're supposed to do. We're to seek the blesser, not the blessings. And it says in Romans 12:1, you can read it. I don't want to misquote it. Romans 12, verse 1. says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, we're to give our lives to God. We're to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto him. So that would be, what will you do for God? And, you know, and again, that's an individual thing. It's just like your needs. Your needs are individual to a great extent. And what you can do for God and what you do for him is between you and him. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us and loving us and watching over us. We thank you, God, for what a great and mighty God you are, and how you make your word so clear and simple, and that we can understand it, and we can understand you, and we can understand how great you are to a certain degree anyway, and that it's just incredible, and that we can just do our best for you and love you and serve you to the best of our abilities. So we thank you for that, and for your son, Jesus Christ, and what a great and wonderful son he was to you, and how he was so willing to pay the price for us. So we thank you in his name and pray. Amen.